Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, the number one fuckboy, the number one fuckboy, the number one birthday boy, Johnny G. I am not in the High and Mighty studios. I'm in the official HeadGum studios because I have multiple guests and my office is too small for this many people. It's the birthday crew. This episode is coming out. Today is January 30th. The night before everyone in this room's birthday. Joining me in the studio is fellow 131ers and former guest Christine Nangle.
Hello.
Former guest Payman Benz.
Hello.
And new guest, lifelong producer at Earwolf, Josh Richman.
Hi, guys.
Hello, fam. Guys, we're all here.
We're all here. The biggest names with this birthday.
Yep. Yeah. Luckily, Bobby Moynihan and Paul Scheer couldn't make it. This is so exciting to me. I'm obsessed with the fact I keep meeting more and more people with this birthday.
You do?
Yeah. And it was, Josh was the one, I'd worked with him for like 6 months when the last year's episode came out, and he goes, hey, just so you know, I'm January 31st.
Yeah. I had to shove myself into the conversation somehow. It would be weird if I didn't.
Yeah, it would be weird if I just happened to stumble upon your birthday being January 31st. I'm like, you never told me, dude? We've been working together fucking so much. It's crazy how many people have this birthday, and it's crazy how many people I know that have this birthday, and specifically in the comedy world. This is such a, I believe in the horoscope and birth chart shit at this point when like that many January 31st people work in entertainment.
Or baseball. It's like baseball or comedy.
Yeah.
Or the two. It's
the only
crazy.
Two things that matter.
Yeah.
Both American pastimes.
And the funniest sport.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's the funniest sport.
Baseball is a lot like podcasting because it's, very long and has a couple of moments that you enjoy.
Takes about an hour to pay off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's weird though, because I don't know about you guys, but when I realized that I wanted to get into comedy and I was kind of, telling people, they were like, you were born January 31st. You're never going to make it. Like somebody like you, January 31st, it's not going to happen.
No, they're like, play professional baseball.
And And I said, I'm going to do it anyway. And here I am, okay? Here I am. That's all I got to say.
You are a working comedian now.
Working.
Comedy writer is what I was going to say,
working,
but I felt like.
First base referee? I don't know.
They call them in baseball, right?
I think it's umpire, right? I'm now afraid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Field
I'm
judge?
Sorry, umpire.
No, it's umpire.
Umpire referee, yeah. Sorry.
Umpire records. What are we all doing for our birthday? Do we have? I mean, what else are we going to talk about? Do you guys have a specific birthday tradition that you do every year? Are you doing anything? I'm trying to get invited somewhere. It's tomorrow. Do you guys have specific plans? Do you do the same thing every year? Is there a birthday tradition? Or truly, I've only harnessed birthdays for content purposes. They don't really matter to me. I've never really felt the affinity towards my birthday. I like to do something fun for my birthday just to see a bunch of people at once where they sort of feel like they should say yes to go to it. Like, I formally brought a bunch of people to go see a rugby match. I've done, like, weird shenanigans like that. But, like, I don't really have birthday like, when we were kids, my dad would cook you whatever you wanted on your birthday. That was, like, the one thing. You got to choose the meal that night. Chicken cordon bleu, 20 years running or whatever. I don't have any other birthday things that I want to do every birthday
I'm
year.
I'm picturing, like, tiny little gamers going, chicken cordon bleu, daddy.
Oh, God,
chicken
I would have killed to have been bleu. Tiny little gamers at any point in my life. I was, like, 12-year-old with B cups. Dad, can I have chicken cordon bleu? Because I love chicken cutlets, ham, and cheese. And I know you can roll them all together and eat them that way.
You know, I'll say in my friend group, I'm rarely the person who comes up with plans. I'm usually the person who's tagging along to other people's plans and just saying, like, oh, whatever you guys are doing, I'll just, if you guys are, like, going to the bar, whatever, sure, that's fine. So I sometimes think of birthdays as, like, oh, that's the chance of, like, there's a thing that, like, I really want to do that I'm really excited about. Then I might pitch that to other people being like, hey, it's my birthday, guys. I want to go to an escape room. I know, like, escape rooms might not be your thing, but it's my thing. So I can kind of guilt you into doing it this time around.
That's exactly what I did with that rugby party. And then I ended up, like, having to rent a bus. I was like, oh, I didn't know that many people were gonna. I assumed everyone was going to say no. Wait. Did you, am I blowing up your spot? We could edit this out if you have no desire for people to know this, but didn't you do a, like, murder mystery thing? Was that for your birthday?
Or that was for my birthday.
That sounds awesome.
Wow. He created it.
What?
So,
this is exciting.
No, I don't do it every year because it's way too much work to do every year, but I've now done it. I did it for my 30th birthday and I'm going to do it for my 35th, which is next year. I'm 34 this year.
Congrats.
But, I will write an entire murder mystery party where I'm both the person throwing the party and the person I die 10 minutes into the party.
To his own party that he's hosting.
Wow.
I introduced myself in character and everybody else already has their character sheets when they come. And the last one I threw was like, I'm in like an underwater, like C-Lab 2020 style laboratory. And I was a mad scientist.
And then
I died. But then everybody else had to solve my murder. Being like finding clues that I'd scattered around
the
house.
What are you doing during all this?
Laying on my living room floor.
After I die, I become a ghost, which means everybody can see me and I'm just sort of haunting the party and talking to people and sometimes giving them hints if I'm trying to move it in a certain direction.
Wow. And
you're like, you become an observer at that point. You're just watching. Yeah. Yes. Play into my games.
Observer/game master, sure. But it's been a ton of fun the last couple of times I've done it. It's just a ridiculous amount of work because I'm giving everybody like a 5-page original packet with all their backstory.
How long in advance do you give it to them?
Like 3 weeks in advance.
No, really?
Yeah, so that they can so that they can internalize their character and
and maybe get costumes and props for it.
Yeah, so sometimes I'll say like, hey, 2 hours into the party, I'm going to ask you to like do this crazy thing, like pull out a gun and shoot somebody, so that there's like story events built into the party.
Wow.
Yeah. Doesn't that make you feel like lame when you're just like, hey, I'm grabbing drinks at Birds, meet me there.
Just like get stoned and go to Sugarfish.
That's a great birthday tradition too. Yes. I call that going to Sugarfish.
Yeah, sorry.
That's like, always like, I to my non-weed friends, I'll be like, yeah, dude, last night me and Tiff did this. And they're like, oh, yeah, did you smoke weed before? And I was like, yeah, it was like a thing. I love 1917. They're like, oh, were you stoned for it? I was like, yeah, it's a movie. I'm stoned for everything besides work.
I'll tell you when
and
I'm not
work
stoned.
Is this. Yeah. Yeah, you'll know when I'm not stoned because it's right now and I had cold brew and I'm screaming over other people after asking them a question. Nanga, what kind of elaborate birthday shit do you do?
Well, whenever people come over, I do give them like a little bit of reading to do before they show up, but like what they're kind of give them like compliments I want them to give me or like
you brief them on interesting stuff you've done and what they can talk to you about.
Or like, you know, maybe they can let me know everything's gonna work out for me or whatever.
Hey, your character is Nangle's friend, John Gabris. And the thing is, you have to tell me that I made the right choice. And I'm like, well, this is Nangle, this is very specific.
No, that's not yours. You're Mike Mitchell. Give me
oh,
that
fuck,
back.
Sorry. Socks.
Yeah, like which things that they need to ask me forgiveness for. I don't know. I'm really, really bad at planning things that I thought like, oh, I'll do something this year, like I've always wanted to throw myself a Motown dance party. And
hell,
I was
yeah.
like, I'll do that for this birthday. And then it just kind of got closer and closer. And I was like, I don't feel like it. But I remember it was like back when I was still working a regular job before I got in comedy. I said, my boss was like, what do you do for your birthday? And I was like, oh, on my birthday every year, I like to do something I've never done before, which is a complete lie.
But did you want to seem interesting or you just had nothing to say at the moment?
I wanted to seem interesting, but I wanted that to be true. Like I believed that was going to be true.
Yeah. Okay. You were like speaking into existence. Yeah.
And I don't know if I actually did this for my birthday, but I was like, so I'm going to go shoot guns on my birthday, which I don't think I did. I think I only ever went gun shooting once, and it was like a year or two later. And then like every year I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm supposed to do something that I've never done before, because one time I told a boss when I was like an assistant at a nonprofit that's what I do every year. Oh, I think I also was like, oh, I'm going to go on the trapeze down at like whatever.
Chelsea Piers. South Street Seaport.
Still never did that.
The realest thing ever is like having big plans for your birthday. Like I'm going to do something for my birthday this year. And then for us, it's like you come back from the holidays and it's like January 2nd or 3rd. And you're like, oh, back to the grind. And then like, for me to be specific, Tiffany will be like, what do you want to do for your birthday this year? And I'm like, I don't want to think about eating, drinking, partying, seeing anyone. Like, I'm just like, I'm back in like work and life mode. I had 12 days off and I'm stressed and sad now. Yeah. Like I don't want to do birthday shit. Yeah. And that I feel like it's not close enough to Christmas, to the holidays, to like be completely eaten by the holidays, but it's close enough where you're like, I don't feel like doing another event of any. I don't even want to get dressed, you know? Yeah.
It is a little too close, although you do get to catch when everybody's dry January is ending. So.
Oh,
that's
right.
That's true. The last two, not this January, but I mean, I failed like 3 days in, but like I was trying to do that and like kind of a whole 30 thing where you're not eating like
anything but vegetables. Sugar. Yeah,
and stuff. And it's 30 days. So it's like it ends on January 30th. So then 31st. And you're supposed to ease back into it, which I've never eased either way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's easing into the diet if on January 1st you go, no booze, no sugar. Like after New Year's Eve, just smashing champagne. You're like, all right, time to ease into this insane diet. Yeah. So I'm always hesitant to, and like it always ends up being January 20th. And then I'm like, fuck, I got to figure out what to do. Literally on the drive here, I was calling the Lowell Cafe, the cannabis cafe, to be like, what's the biggest table I can get on Friday night? You know, and I was like, can I get 12 people? Can I get 20 people? And the other thing is I have like a friend group that is like either 4 people or 40 people. Yeah. There's no 15 person version of my friend group without like maybe hurting someone's feelings, or I'm projecting that no one would actually care because we're all almost 40 and it's not a big deal. But like, so I'm like, I don't know, 12, 20, what do you guys have? And they're like, we have nothing. It's 4 days away and it's a Friday night. And I'm like, well, that's reasonable. Yeah. Like, that is completely understandable.
Like, we just
see you later.
The whole city is excited about us.
We're the only weed cafe in Los Angeles, so duh.
What does that mean, weed cafe?
That you can smoke in the restaurant. You can. They sell weed and devices and some edibles, but the food is not medicated at all. But you can buy like a edible drink or something like an infused drink. But also you have two waiters, you have two servers. One's a food server and one is your cannabis server. They come over to your table, ask you what you want. They come back with like a rolling tray, grinder, wow, rolling papers. I'm taking Josh there tonight.
I'm so excited. I'm waiting for this.
I'm taking Josh out for his birthday. I can say in front of you guys. Yeah, I'm taking all my birthday buds out. Me, Josh, Paul, Bobby, James Adomian.
Oh, cool.
I'm sorry. Thanks for doing the pod, though.
Yeah, it's weird. We were texting about the cafe like weeks ago.
I know.
It's weird.
We were supposed to go this Wednesday. And I had just, because I want to take the team behind the Gino Lombardo podcast out as a thank you, and it did not happen until this week. And then I'm also trying to set it up for my birthday, and then you were like, hey, do you want to do it Wednesday the 29th? And I almost went to the cafe, having gone twice since it's open. I almost went 3 times in one week, and I was like, the food is not like amazing.
It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It doesn't. And also, the last few times I've been there, you're very aware that it's a weed restaurant when you're like, hey, I ordered an orange juice. Excuse me. Oh, miss, I ordered an orange juice like 5 minutes. Can you help me out here?
Oh, are the servers wearing like masks to protect themselves?
Nah, I think the servers are all capable of handling secondhand smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
Based on the amount of like septum piercings and interesting haircuts of the crew.
I feel like if that was me, I'd be like, I ordered an orange juice 5 minutes ago. And she'd be like, miss, you ordered one 25 seconds ago.
And I already told you, you're drinking one. You just like look down, it's in your
hand. Wait, did you say the way to say that if food has like weed in it, is it's medicated?
Yeah, or infused. You used to say both, medicated, yeah. But yeah.
I've never heard that. It sounds like a ham ate an ibuprofen or something.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah, it's all like they say medicated, so it sounds less druggy.
Yeah. Sure, well, sure. That's when it was all under the auspices of medicine. When you would go in someplace, you'd be like, can I have green crack as medicine?
Right.
Oh, I'll take a Alaskan thunderfuck by the 8th as medicine.
That reminds me of when I was a kid, my grandpa had diabetes and he would have caffeine-free Diet Coke or caffeine-free Coke in his, it must have been Diet Coke, caffeine-free Diet Coke in his fridge. And in my house, we never had soda, but they always had those sodas at my grandmom and grandpa's house. And we'd always be like, oh, can I have some soda? And they would always say, no, that's grandpa's, it has his medicine in it. And it was like, you know, sealed. It wasn't opened. But like, that's what they told me. For years, I believed that somehow my grandpa got medicine that they put into a Coke for him.
Oh, that's so funny.
And it's like, in a way, it's true. Like, it was the kind he could drink.
Yeah, it was like, right.
But
it was
also just like, get out of here. You can't have soda.
Yeah. But that's because I know the medicine lie is being the oldest of three boys. Like, being the oldest brother. If me and my middle brother were eating Swedish fish, we would explain to my youngest brother that it was medicine and you couldn't have
it. That's adorable.
We would like do anything. We were monsters. A lot of the stuff I've learned in hindsight is that we were really terrible to each other as children. But a lot of it was like, these are vitamins. You're not allowed to have these to like our 8-year-old brother who's like, I want a pretzel. And we're like, no, these are vitamins. They're for us. A lot of like... giving him the unplugged controller, we'll time you, go get this. Like, you can beat your own record. Like, just classic older brother shit.
That's incredible.
And it's funny to hear grandparents using it.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's Pop-Pop's medicine as he cracks open a fucking...
It's part of being in a family is just lying to everybody you love all the time.
And timing them.
Yeah. It's the best way to, like, get through life is lying to your family incessantly the whole way.
Do the I'll time you all the time.
Yeah.
Just like, go run up and brush your teeth. I'll time you. And you go, okay.
Yeah, it worked on me.
He carried a starter's pistol too, which is interesting.
Yeah, he would flash me his gun in his waistband and be like, it's a starter pistol. And let's go.
Normal stuff.
Yeah, just normal family shit.
Just January 31st stuff.
So payment, dinner out is your big January 31st
thing? It's always weird, especially if it's near a weekend. It's always Super Bowl weekend, as you all know. So it's always like weird to plan anything because everyone already has stuff. Mm-hmm. As the years have gone on, I've never gotten all my friends together because I feel like you said, I have so many worlds out here and different groups within comedy and other people.
You can't
get
four people together?
I can, but then it...
You have one in each world. I have Earth, I have Wind, I have Fire. And we make Captain Planet.
I also feel... I don't like doing stuff for my birthday. I feel, like, embarrassed by it. So, like,
there
if
is
anything,
a bit,
it's like, I'll go to lunch with this person, I'll go here with this person, but I don't want to do a thing. I feel weird.
He'll make, like, three mini plans, because that's, like, sometimes what I do for my birthday. It's like, I'll go to dinner with, like, these five people, I'll do something with Tiff, and then, like... Saturday afternoon, I'll send a text to 20 people, be like, hey, let's go to the beach and smoke weed or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, but as someone who is truly an attention whore, like I'm obsessed with people paying attention to me. I do have that element on my birthday where I'm like, can we not make a big deal out of this? I feel uncomfortable. It's all stems from like people singing to you at Applebee's. I feel like that shit just carries over into life forever where you're like, no, it's not my birthday. Come on, just shut up. But that's why it's fun when you run into people with your birthday. And I want to pitch this here. I mean, Josh maybe has like a novella he needs to do for his next birthday, but we should have a huge joint birthday bash instead. We should just conflate all of our interests into something, like rent a space that has like a dab bar, a video game, like just make sure we have something represented from everyone. Like
great.
We'll have what's his name? Gritty will be there for you.
I love Gritty.
I mean, you have human Gritty there if you need him.
Just Gritty going around punching 13-year-olds in the back.
Look, if he was a teenager in Philly, he deserved to be punched, I promise.
Gritty may have set this kid on a better path in life.
No doubt. There's no doubt.
I was just in Philly for 24 hours, and almost every single joke about me was, hey, it's Gritty. Like, they all, like...
Strangers?
No, not strangers. Oh. High and mighty listeners, shitheads, out to the live show. We're like, yeah, I'm human Gritty. I get it. I'm a big googly-eyed furry freak. Leave me alone. Yeah,
the roast of Mike Mitchell when we did our show there was Big Titty Gritty.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. That works too well.
I know. No, yes.
But let's get all the 131 heads involved.
I think that sounds great.
Yeah. And I think if we get, like, the core of the group that did this episode last year and and these people here, I feel like if we have all these people attached, we can get a message to Timberlake or fucking Mini Driver. No. Imagine, like, your combo party, Josh, Payman, Nangle, Gaberson, Mini Driver. They're going to the Cannabis Cafe?
We have to. Isn't Phil Collins, or is he the day before?
No, Phil Collins is 131 as well.
Oh, I didn't know Phil Collins. Oh, my God.
Collins.
I think Phil Collins or Timberlake or Jackie Robinson are the biggest 131s.
Yeah. Ernie Banks. He's not as big as...
Ernie Banks?
Ernie Banks, Mr. Cub.
Oh.
Yeah.
In my head, I think of Ernie Hudson.
Jackie Robinson is by far the biggest.
No, for sure. For sure. No one is bigger than Jackie.
How is their debate?
Yeah, I guess he's the most, like... widely known person in that
historically
part.
Important.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did something like beyond just like
he didn't
making
write to studio.
Yeah.
I will get all right. So let's not throw Collins on the fire here.
I was trying to think what I did last year, and it was I was living in New York at the time, and I just got like a small group of people to go play board games at a beer garden in Brooklyn. And because it was like, I guess I'm okay trying to get people together for my birthday because I like don't have an issue if I want to do something corny and people have to do it.
Yeah, there's an element. We were touching on that a little earlier. I mean, I think Josh is the iconic example of that. I'm like, they're going to do this for my birthday. They're going to come over in character and do homework and shit. But there's an element to like, that's why I did the same thing when I brought people to go see USA versus Argentina in Stockton, California. I was just like, I'm going to go to this rugby match. And if this is what I want to do for my birthday, I think it'd be fun if you guys saw this and like people agree to go and you're like, holy shit, okay. Yeah. There's like a little bit of an element of abusing the fact that it's your birthday.
Yeah, I went to a Frank Turner concert a couple of years ago, and I just was like, guys, I'm going to this concert if anyone wants to come. And people came, like, not knowing who he was at all, because it was my birthday.
Oh, because that's the time you'll agree to do something, too. It's like, well, it's so-and-so's birthday. Let's go check out what exactly this is.
Now I'm forgetting. Maybe it wasn't a birthday thing. But anyway. Yeah.
big Frank Turner fan here. I met him at doing Improv for Humans, to go back to podcast.
Really? World.
Yeah, I met him. He was a guest on Improv for Humans. He played live in the room with us.
The British guy?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he was really good. I'm like, this guy's really good. And I started following him, and he's like since blown up insanely. But he was on Best Friends podcast like a few years ago. That's awesome. Yeah. It was very, the old Earwolf space. So a couple years ago. Yeah.
That was a while ago. No, that's how I often feel with like those big crazy murder mystery parties. It's like I'm usually inviting a lot of like people who would never do that stuff on their own. Mm-hmm. A lot of like I invited like my sister and brother-in-law who are not into that nerdy shit at all and forced them to come. And then afterwards they're like, oh my God, you got to do that for my birthday next year. It's like you get them into your own weird hobbies.
Yeah.
And stuff this way.
Would you ever do that for like charge people for that?
People have actually approached me, and I'm like, it literally took me 4 months to do this. They'd have to pay me like a couple $1,000s, and I don't think it's worth it for anybody.
Could you just use the ones that you already made or are they like super specific?
No, like I'll often like write them knowing like, oh, this is going to be the specific person in mind and things like that.
Oh, interesting.
They're personalized. They're one time only events. You gotta be there.
Well, let's see. Reach out to Josh. He's at Radio TFB on Instagram. If we get enough people, he could quit his job at Earwolf, keep producing the Gabers projects over there. But otherwise, you can totally take over. Isn't that the number one comedy thing? I think everyone who works in comedy, by the time they get to be in their like 30s and 40s, is like, what can I transition to in this way? Like, what can I do outside of this? Like, I guarantee in 5 years, like, you can take everyone who's in comedy and starts getting a little bit of success is like, this is wonderful. what else can I do instead? How do I monetize my hobby? How do I switch to my hobby now? Cause I've dedicated. So like, it's, I feel like in 5 years, you're going to be like, yeah, that's Payman Benz. He directs all the Clippers in-house videos or whatever.
If I had a chance to work in the NBA, I would leave comedy directing in a
heartbeat. Exactly. And like, oh, you know, Christine Engel is the mayor of Philadelphia now, you know, like John Gabers is rebuilding the reefs around Long Island. Like all this shit, we just all lean into our thing.
But
like,
we're all doing it as a bit.
Right. Yeah, well, like it starts as a bit, and then you're like, holy, like so many people, like Eugene Cordero was like, he's a wildly successful comedy guy, and then he's just like, as he was climbing up the ranks, like became a CrossFit trainer, a Muay Thai instructor, like all his hobbies. He's like, well, this is what I do now as well. And we're all just looking for the way out, and like you're so jealous of someone who's like, oh, that's. Yeah, you're hot. Like, now you do that for real, huh? Interesting.
I feel like it's that or trying to sell a show that takes place in Japan because I just want to go to Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have a buddy and all we do is try to come up with shows that take place in Japan. That's literally the only thing we talk about.
Your preacher choir except switched Japan to a beach of some... Like, I'm constantly like, he's a private investigator in Hawaii. Yeah. He's a fat white guy, but he lives in Hawaii. And he,
so you're going to Sandler route.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
me and my buddies
it's
get
me
to
and
Hawaii.
Five friends on vacation. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Fat Magnum.
Fucking... Sandman is got it figured out. Anyone who
he figured it out.
Favreau and Vince Vaughn sort of do that too. Favreau less so now. He's doing like way more complicated projects. But I feel like those guys for a while were like, "Hey, let's do something called Couples Retreat, where us five doughy best friends all cast smoke show wives and go live in Bali for 6 weeks or whatever." It's like this script isn't even funny. It's like just shoot it. Shut up, guys.
We'll
let's get Kevin James. It'll be fun, man. Yeah. Even like the famously weird ones, Grown Ups, is like that's just like let's go live on a lake for 12 weeks. Together.
I'm pretty sure that's how I heard it came about. It was like, I want to do a movie with my buddies where we get to go to this place. And then he bought them Maseratis once it was a hit.
That's so fucking awesome.
It's such a double-edged sword in a way, because you do get to a point where you just want to make a show with your friends. And you just want to hire your friends. And that does happen. But then that's kind of the way that like people get kept out of the industry is it's like people just keep hiring their friends and their friends' friends. And then there's people who don't really know anybody yet.
Yeah. And there's people who are objectively better than your friends.
Oh, God,
and you're
yeah.
like, but I'd rather work with my friends. God, yeah. Like, yeah. Yo, no, this person is hands down more talented. But this is my friend.
Yes. It's funny because I talk about sometimes with friends like, oh, man, it sucks when. You work, you know, somebody works really hard and then a relative gets the job. But then my 6-year-old nephew is like, I want to make movies. And I was like, I will move mountains to help this kid. Like, I don't care. I'll give you an episode of something when you're 9. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, my 10-year-old nephew is in DGA now because
he's
directed.
He's really good. Yeah.
He shadowed me on the set of Robbie or some shit.
It's so cute when he says action. Why not? Yeah.
But that's why the Sandler model is perfect, because you do 5 movies with your friends and then you do like one just to build up some credibility with a bunch of people you've never worked with before, and you do your uncut gems, and then you just go back to going to Hawaii all the time. And that's the balance.
When Sandler didn't get nominated for Uncut Gems, he had the best single, the most gracious, funny, at on-brand tweet. Right after he didn't get it, he said, Sandman sad for no awards. Sandman happy, no more suits. Sandman is going to root for friends. Good luck, Mama, with a picture of Kathy Bates, who was nominated. And that's Mama from Waterboy.
Oh,
he like, it was the most gracious, cute, funny. He's like, I'm pumped that I don't have to get dressed up anymore. I can go back to like knee-length fucking Knicks shorts.
Yeah.
There's a photo of, what was that movie? Pixels, I think, that he did. And it was like, he's in that, right?
I think so. It is like that crew. Well,
they made it. Yeah.
Kevin James is definitely in it. I think Sandler's.
Josh Gad's in it because, according to the Doughboys, they constantly talk about how Josh Gad has a kid with Q-Bert in that movie.
Oh, right.
He fucks Q-Bert.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
But there's a photo from like the red carpet of that, and it's like Sandman and Kevin James. It's a couple schlubby guys just wearing like shorts and t-shirts. And then Selena Gomez in like a like Marilyn Monroe red gown with like hair and makeup done. And I think it was Kate Spencer or somebody tweeted that out and was like, this is Hollywood in a nutshell.
That guy, and one of those people got paid scale and one of those people made $1 billion on that movie.
She spent hours getting ready and they were like playing a pickup game like down the street. They probably smelled like crap.
It's like wedding. It's like wedding days. I mean, not that I would know, but like.
Oh yeah.
No, but like, you know, bridesmaids, we all have to like wake up like 7 a.m. and go through all this stuff and like.
And the men play cornhole all afternoon in like wife beaters getting sunburnt. They go out all sweaty and squinty and stand there and ruin the photos for all the women who spent the entire day choreographing. Oh, everyone has to wear boots, the same boots. And like, meanwhile, the guys, like one dude has like Velcro sneakers on and you're like, Ronnie, he's like, I didn't pack dress shoes, man. You know? Like,
Do you think it's starting to change a little bit? Like the Grammys yesterday, like Lil Nas X and Billy Porter wearing this like insane outfits. I think
there's a swing the other way. Cause I think people realize like, getting juice off the red carpet isn't, unfortunately it was so gendered for a long time where it was just like men wear a tux, do not stand out. Women, we are going to talk to you about it, judge you about it. It's going to be a whole 2 hours before the award show happens. You're going to be on E after the award show happens, all about what you look like.
Yeah.
Now I feel like men are like, and this is the most gender dividing too. Men are like, oh, I hate getting dressed and getting ready and shit. Hey, do you notice women are getting a lot of attention for getting dressed? It's like, dude, we should do that and fucking box them out of that. You know, now it's just like guys are like, look at my cool outfit. Move over, lady. You
know? Yeah, literally with like a more expensive purse than
Christian Siriano wouldn't dress me because he's dressed in the fucking brat pack of grown-ups too or whatever. Yeah, he's got a dress. What's Sandler's super tan, the guy who's in all his movies? Dante. Oh,
Dante, yeah.
That's not his real name.
Probably won't even show up. Yeah.
Is there anything now that, like, do birthdays, because it's also, again, because it's close to January 1st, there's not, like, an element of, like, the page turning as, because the year just turned 2020, it's, like, less than I'm going to be turning 38. Like that matters less than the new year for some reason. But I know some people use birthdays as signifiers of like, this year I'm doing blank, or hopefully by 38 I'm blank. Do any of you guys do any of that?
I think that for me, I remember at this point and last time we did this thinking this must be so boring to other people.
Yeah, I mean, you're my inner monologue of every podcast I record. Good. Like, this has got to be so boring.
They're going to hate this.
Yeah, everybody can relate. It's like too close to Christmas and it's not quite February 14th. Universal. But I know, you know, I would make resolutions on January 1st and then totally suck at them and like be bad. But then it's just like, no, February 1st. Like right. I get to do whatever on my birthday. And that's kind of seemed to work out and everything's perfect for me now.
Yeah, you've got your life completely in order.
Yeah, finally. I can't imagine changing anything, honestly.
Yeah, there is an element to like, okay, January's a wash. All right, after my birthday, let me get my shit back together. Yeah, it's like January 5th and you're still drinking, like you're still like partying a little bit or like, two friend dinners in a row and you're like, fuck it, I'm punting this healthy shit to February 1st.
Especially when you're living in New York and it's just cold and all you want to do is like drink whiskey.
Yeah, or you just got to drink something brown to keep you alive.
Wait, I have a question for all you guys who are January 31st people. Do you identify as Aquarians?
I do. What is the other? Are we close to another one?
That's We're close to Pisces. But we are technically.
I do think that like astrology is 100% bullshit. But then I read the description of Aquarius and it's like, you are very creative and intelligent. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. Sure. Of course this makes sense.
Yeah,
but then for Pisces, it's you are very creative and intelligent.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's everybody. Yeah.
There is something like to Aquarius too, where it is like, there's something about you know, center of attention, life of the party kind of vibe, which I think lends itself to comedy in a way. And then it's like for this many people in my small, I guess it's not that like all the people we're currently friends with that are January 31st. You're like, wow, that's so weird. But it's not like there's 10 more January 31st comedians that we're not friends with. You know what I mean? Right. Like there is like an element of like, I got to introduce myself to so-and-so. They're January 31st.
We got to check out those like, you know, Second City, Improv Olympic.
Yeah, we got to get them when they're young coming up. Yes. Yeah, the guy who does all the Arby's VO does Ving Rhames? No, the guy who does like the no purchase necessary guy. The pro. I'm going to take a little edible arrangement. We should shout out. Nang brought us edible arrangement.
A very big edible arrangement. That was sent by the original Nangang to me at work, and I wasn't going to go to work today And I had to go pick this up because the PA texted me and was like, what do you want me to do with this? It's big. And so the card, I don't know if I have the card on me, but it's, I was like, he sent me a text and I was like, who's it from? And I asked him to send me the card. Oh, I have it here. And it says, happy birthday week, Chiggy, which is what they call me. We love you so much.
Wait, what do they call you?
Chiggy. It was.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You tried to glaze over that. Yeah, right. Chiggy. Oops, actually, I read that. That's what they call me. And no follow-ups. Delete this.
It's because years ago, a cousin couldn't say my name and said that. And it was so cute. So then the kids all call me that.
That's why I'm still called Nani. Because my littlest brother called me Nani when he was so growing up. Cute. So now my nephews, they're like, that's Uncle Nani. Awesome. And they go, hi, Uncle Nani, and all that. And it's the same exact thing.
It was also partly, like, it was helpful to me because when I was really little, I was called Chrissy. And from a young age, I did not identify with the name Chrissy. Like, I hated it from, like, the moment I understood it. And it took till I was, like, I don't know, seventh or eighth grade or something to finally be like, can you please stop calling me that? And to this day, I don't have an opinion on what I'm called as long as it's not that. Like, Chris, Christine, whatever. And that's kind of where Nangle came from. Like, people just called me that naturally because my name is stupid. And so it was my cousin's kid, but my whole family still calls me Chrissy. My immediate family stopped because I begged them to. But
the cousins you see less or than
they still think of me as Chrissy. So my cousin had told his daughter to call me Chrissy, and then she couldn't. She was calling me Chiggy, which just eliminated Chrissy completely, and then it became Chiggy, which is cuter.
And you prefer Chiggy to Chrissy.
God, yeah.
Yeah. But don't come up to Nang on the street and start calling her Chiggy. That is too weird.
That's weird. don't come up to me on the street.
Yeah, period. Don't come up to any of us. Not even me.
The card is from Mom and Dad, Rusty and Theo, Momo, Pinky, Malinky, Blue, Pinky, Malinky, Bluey, McScrewy, and Dumb Truck. Because Pinky, Malinky, Bluey, McScrewy, and Dumb Truck are fish. They just got a bunch of goldfish.
And the fish mailed you the edible arrangement? No. I don't understand how that works.
Momo is the dog.
Momo is your dog?
Momo is my sister's dog. Oh. So he's so cute. So anyway, there's a giant edible arrangement right in front of us.
It's beautiful. It really is.
It really is beautiful. I did one time at, I think it was around the time of my dad's funeral or something, there was an edible arrangement at my mom's house. And at like 1 a.m, me and my brother were high as fuck. And we were just like, when someone dies in an Italian family, you just have like a garage full of food. You're just like, should we open up a tray of chicken parm? And my brother's like, let's fucking get rid of this edible arrangement. Like and we were like, this is so dumb. And then we sat there and ate fruit and chocolate covered fruit for like an hour. The next morning I was like, I'm so used to eating disgusting at 1 a.m. That's probably the cleanest I've ever eaten at 1 a.m, but I fucked my stomach up so bad. I was like, I had way too much fruit last night. My stomach is killing me. We were just so baked. I was like, we had like a line of wooden sticks. Like the amount of skewers that were on the counter was like just insane.
It's definitely like the amount of fruit I'm looking at is, if this is for one person, it would take many days to complete, I would think.
Yeah, I would just dump this upside down in my ninja and just hit puree.
It's like a cantaloupe, honeydew. I think that's white chocolate covered bananas, grapes, and chocolate covered
pineapple and chocolate covered straws.
Yeah.
I'm gonna grab a chocolate. And I think
people
pineapple.
Who
Perfect.
Are like consider themselves classy make fun of these.
Yeah, because they're
but they're fun. I like I get them for my nephews every year, and they get a kick out of them. You can get like their little age on a stick out of a fruit.
They're trashy adjacent. You know what I mean? Like, because if I can quote my friend Rip Michaels, they're clatchet. They're like classy and ratchet. It's like what a family in Philly or a family in Long Island thinks. It's like, his father died. Send him an edible arrangement. You know, it'd be very sweet of us if we sent them an edible arrangement. You know, it's like, can't eat flowers. You know, like that's like the attitude. Yes. It's like that old blue collar attitude of like flowers you just throw out. Edible arrangement gives you nourishment. Yeah. It serves two purposes. Yeah,
and you get all them plastic sticks.
Yeah, you got all these free sticks.
Also, there's no way you don't smile when that shows up.
Yeah.
Because there's something hilarious, but also very endearing about them.
And there's kale.
Yeah.
Is that kale?
It doesn't look like kale.
There's like fake. Greens.
It's like garnish. I'm realizing I shouldn't grab anything chocolate covered where I have no napkins and no plate or anything.
No, I mean, I'd rather get this than like, I don't know, like a Harry and David box where like everything's like individually wrapped and a little bit like too fancy, but doesn't actually taste great.
Well, you didn't, okay?
Yeah.
You got it from the Nangles. It's in front of you for free, okay? Jesus.
This is better than Sherry's Berries for sure. Unless, of course, Sherry's Berries wants to advertise on High and Mighty, in which case I'll put this in the garbage in front of you.
Sherry's Berries.
Sherry's Berries, which I only know from listening to Howard Stern. I can't stop now. I realized I hadn't had lunch, and now I'm eating fruit, and I'm like, this is good.
We're going to recreate that night.
Let's go. Yeah, dude, let me get diarrhea. It should hit me at 4 in the morning. It'd be perfect. Just hit me at 4 in the morning. I wake up at 7. is there any – we're all adults now. Is there any, like, dread coming from your birthday? Like, because I don't think, like – 38, which is what I turn on Friday, sound tomorrow, which doesn't sound any older than 37. You know what I mean? I'm wondering if 40 will feel different when that comes up. But at this point, in my head, I'm already 40 in a weird way. You know what I mean? I'm just like, it doesn't stress me out because I'm like practically 40.
And in your arteries, you're 67.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my brain, I'm 12, and my heart, I'm 60. It averages out to 38, weirdly enough.
I gotta say, like late 30s, I stopped thinking about it. Like I'm turning 42 on Friday, and it hit me the other day, and I was like, holy shit, I'm gonna be 42? Like in the last year, every time someone asked my age, I forgot. It like took me a sec where I was like, I'm 41. Like I also feel like I don't feel that. I feel younger.
I think our careers kind of help with that too. There's like nothing about feeling old if your job is
also low. Like nobody's really a grown up in the city, so it's hard to really feel like an adult. So
ain't that the truth, men?
I mean, there's like 48-year-old men having their first kid. You know,
exactly. That'll be me in like 4 years. But
fingers crossed.
Mom, if you're listening, and she loves this show.
Damon's mom, I gotta say thank you again for listening. It's huge. Payman was on once a couple of years ago, and she's stuck.
She's just like listening, but every time she goes, he says so many bad words up in the Bay Area.
Yeah. She's like, I love the episode that you did on Gabrus's podcast, but really what I got away from is I'm a huge fan of Gabrus. Yeah. You're like, Mom, back off. This is going to end badly for you. I have like you were saying, when people ask me my age, I've been 38 in my head since like May because I'm like, oh, I'm practically 38. So like now I'm like, people like, my aunt was like, are you 38 this year for your birthday? I was like, or 39. And I like forgot. And I'm like, oh, there's no need to push my age higher than it is. Right. But I'm like so casually comfortable. And I reference it a lot for like bits where I'm talking and I'm like, I can't believe I'm a 38-year-old man saying this, but really I'm 37 the whole time. So there's this weird element where almost for the sake of the joke, it'd be better to be 40 because it's a little cleaner, a little punchier. Like if you did a rewrite, you'd be like, just say you're 40. Stop saying late 30s.
Right.
So I can't wait to be 40 because then I could be like, can you believe it? I'm a 40-year-old guy doing martial arts rather than a 38-year-old guy, which is weird enough. Assuming I'm still doing martial arts in 2 years. I'll use that martial arts as a segue too. When I turned like 34 or 35 is when I realized like, I wasn't doing any of the fun shit I always said I wanted to do with my life because I was so hell-bent on getting my career figured out that I, a couple of years ago, decided to start doing things that I wanted to do outside of the business. And it was like the best decision I have ever made in my life. And I don't know, I mean, I shouldn't say that. There's probably a few more, like flirting with the hot girl in my communications class who I'm now married to. but there's probably some other smart decisions along the way, mostly bad decisions. But like a couple of years ago, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to just try to do a half marathon. Fuck it. I'm going to get scuba certified. I'm going to start taking martial arts classes. Like just these things. And I started to feel like I was made up this like fake thing. I'm like, once I've got my life figured out, I'll do this shit. And then I just never, I was like, I'm starting to think that my life is never going to be quote unquote figured out. And what that even means, my life's great right now.
Right.
And am I waiting to have like 6 seasons of a fucking Freeform show before I can do shit? Like, what am I waiting? What is success in this business? It's so ephemeral. It doesn't matter. So I started making these decisions to start doing shit. And I'll tell you, I feel younger in the last 3 years than I've felt for like 10 years before that. Just cause I'm like, I feel more agency. I'm doing more things that I want to do in life. And it feels crazy to say, but like, the smartest shit I ever did was start doing more bullshit. Yeah. Like, start being like, no, I'm going to fuck around and do this thing that I've always said I wanted to do. Let me just try it. And it's like, everything's easier to do than you make it feel in your head and shit like that. If I have any advice for younger January 31st heads or younger people in general, the thing that you're like wondering how difficult it is going to be to do is so much easier once you just rip the Band-Aid off, pull the trigger, whatever fucking analogy you need. And I that's like the best advice I can give as a late 30s person. It's just like, just do the thing you've been saying you wanted to try and find out you hate it or find out you love it now rather than like build it up to you're like, someday I'm going to dive the Great Barrier Reef. Like, and the irony there is that we only have like a year or two of that left.
Yeah,
like, make some fucking moves.
Yeah, I feel that a ton. I mean, this is, I'm going to be 34 this year, which I feel like 33 was the last year of like my early 30s, and this is like my mid 30s beginning, more or less, that sort of imaginary dividing line. But it really, sometime over the last year, it really did hit. I've always been so, I've spent most of my life really like living in the future and kind of putting myself on like, in a few years, I'm going to be doing this, in a few years, I'm going to be doing that, and kind of constantly preparing for this future that I imagine is coming. And it really sort of set in at some point in the last year, like the future is now. I'm officially an adult. I'm not like going to be an adult soon.
Right. Yeah. Like what is this arbitrary marker you've created in your head? Like when you're going to pass it and go, now I deserve happiness or deserve to do this thing or whatever.
Right. So it felt like I sort of was just like, okay, I'm going to start doing things that feel good to me now that I'm happy about now and live more in the moment. And that wasn't like a big revelation. I just sort of started doing that and feeling more relaxed, and it's been good. I feel like I'm in a positive headspace for whatever mid 30s brings. We'll see.
I feel like the older non-Hollywood version of that is like, when I retire, I'm finally going to see the world. Yeah. When I retire, I'm going to read books or whatever. And listeners of this podcast are not hearing this for the first time, but my dad had like a full bookshelf of books that he believed when he retired, he would have time to finally read, but he collected books. He's like, I want to read this book. I can't wait to read Jeter's autobiography. I can't wait to read this. He had all these books that he wanted to read, but he's like, I'm too busy with work now. When I retire, I'll just be on the beach reading every day. And then he died fucking 10 years before retirement. So it's like, read the fucking books now, people, you know,
the sooner you do it, sooner you do it. Like,
right.
The sooner you'll get comfortable doing whatever it is. Like for me, it was not working as much. That was the change like a few years ago where I was like, I can say no to stuff. Like I'm going to drive myself crazy if I just, because all I did was work my first 12
years. Well, because you attach your identity, validation, and happiness to your career in some way. So when you're working more, you feel happier and feel better. And then you're like, this is unsustainable to do this for the next 40 years like, at this pace.
What about me? What about the other side?
What about meeting people? What about meeting people that aren't working for me or with me in the moment? You know,
and just slowing down in general. And also finding out that like DGA members have like very low life expectancies. I was like, oh I get why. It's because we work ourselves to death.
Especially like the hired gun TV writers, because it's TV directors. Because you're afraid to turn something down. Because it's like, I got to get these. I got to make my dues. I got to make my insurance. I got to take this 10 days on this show. Oh, now they want me to do two. Well, it's too much. I guess I got to do another one. I can't say no. All right. Well, this other one butts up, but I can, if I have one day of overlap, I could do both. Like you keep, and then you build yourself up and you're like, I'm a fucking nightmare. And if I lost one DGA fee at the end of the year, but I filled it with something richer and freer in my life, it's going to be fucking, you know, it's going to be
better. The work is going to be better.
Right. Yeah. Drained. Oh, that's the other thing.
That's all I did for 13 years out here. It'll be four. Actually, I moved here on my 28th birthday.
Really?
Yeah. That's when I drove down here.
When's your birthday?
January 31st.
Well, it's my birthday.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What? Weirdly enough, the first time this ever happened to me is I met I became friends with this girl in seventh grade, we were sort of buds, and I was like, oh, and her birthday was January 31st and her name was Jill. So her name started with a J. My name started with a J. I'm like, oh, it's so funny. We're both January 31st. And since we're in the same grade, it's 82. Oh, that's so funny. Then I became friends with this guy, Jonathan, and that's my first, we have the same first name. And like we were hanging out for like a year before we realized, or like probably not a year because it would have 9 months before we realized we both had January 30th. So like two people in my junior high, one named Jonathan, had the same birthday as me. And I was like, this is fucking wild. This is such a cool little thing.
It's funny. It's like, it's also so irrelevant in a way. Like, you know how when you're like, I don't know, recently I was like renting a car and I had to give them my license and she saw my birthday and she's like, oh, like my daughter's
January 1971.
No, And she was just like, oh, my daughter's like January 30th. And I was like, oh, but also it's like, I don't care, but
yeah. Well, that's part of the fun for me is that it is absolutely arbitrary.
Exactly.
That January 31st, it's like, why not? The club could just be like people who have these same shoes. You know what I mean? Yeah. But there's just something about something that is out of our control that doesn't matter at all, but managed to now connect these like weird
bit of fate.
We can't control when our parents fuck.
Yeah, not anymore. Not since my dad died. I used to be able to power of suggestion. Yeah.
I do remember being in fourth grade and meeting somebody else named Josh for the first time and being like, well, another Josh, this means we're destined to be friends. And then I went out of my way to be friends and we hung out like twice. It was like, this guy sucks.
And then you go to Hollywood and everyone is named Josh.
Everybody is fucking named Josh. Well, that's the fourth most common name of 1986.
That's a real fucking zoom out moment when you're like, holy shit, another Josh. And then you're like, well, when I left my town, I realized there's I'm from Long Island where it's like 75% Jewish. I went to high school with 20 Joshes.
Right.
Everyone was named Josh, Jared, Jonathan, Mike, Dan, Dave. Because it was I think early 80s kids all have the names like, you know, classic American names like Dave, Joe, Mike, Payman, you know, just like.
I'm trying to think what your question was because I wanted to answer it.
Have you done anything different?
Is that what you were doing? Are you using birthdays as a markers to do anything different, Mike?
I think that, like, you know, as I've gotten older, I've like, I don't care as much about just the bullshit.
Holy shit, nail on the fucking head. Yeah, that's a big part of it is like, down to the version I thought about today, because I meant to say this on the pod. I have these like weird ass gym shoes that look like aqua socks, but I really like them and they're really comfortable. And 4 years ago, I would have never worn them. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, I don't give a fuck that I look like a weirdo. Right. Like, I am a weirdo. I'm an old weirdo. I'm going to stop. Do the corny shit that you always wanted to do.
You also start, I mean, it's like, it's, you know, cliche to say it, but as you get older and you have like more life behind you, you realize like no one's thinking about you. I had this like realization recently where like somebody, I was like, oh, me, like this person acts a certain way. Like I was kind of like, didn't like the way that the person acted. And then I was like, maybe they don't like me. Like that's fine. Like, like maybe that's why they, cause like I had a person that I, years ago, like worked with and they were so bad at their job that I had to be ice cold with this person. Cause it was just, there's something very specific that was happening. And like, I couldn't engage. I had to just be ice cold. And I was like, you know, if that person were to tell people, Christine Angle's a bitch, she's ice cold, I'd be like, she would be right to say it because I had to be to her. And
but you wouldn't, now you don't care that someone like, you're like, no, I had to be in that moment. So if you think I was.
And if like somebody is treating me a certain way, that's like, maybe idea that's like, maybe somebody doesn't like me, that's fine. Or like, they're not thinking about you. Like no one is ruminating on your shit. And like that is something that's just because, and then when I, you know, became a manager and I was starting to be like a head writer and executive producer. And so I had to be on the other side of work. Mm-hmm. It really gave me like empathy. I was so mad because it gave me so much empathy for bosses that I wanted to hate, like, that I used to hate.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was on the other side of it and I was like, oh crap, they had to deal with all this kind of stuff and they had to make these decisions.
And then that's why I was bullshit rolling downhill to me and I never even put that together.
No, yeah. I just like judged them or thought they were doing a bad job. And you know, it's just like you live, you learn type thing. And hopefully my goal is to live with like more compassion for people, especially if it's like looking back at, you know, looking at what people are doing. Like when you look at like athletes, they're so young, you know, or like so many like musicians and stuff. There's like, I look at them and I think, oh my God, what was I doing at that age or whatever? And then just remembering that people are just always learning and always figuring it out and trying to like, especially if you're having to do it in the limelight, I can't imagine. So you're making all these dumb mistakes that we made. Like, that's why I'm so glad that like, you know, I grew up in the 50s. So like the internet wasn't around. But it is weird. Like there is dread in a way, just because I'm a woman and like age is it's important. Like, you know, you're viewed a certain way. Like, you know,
right.
So that I can't control, and I'm trying not to worry about. But I'll be able to drink next year. So that'll be nice.
So that's the big hype.
excited.
Nang, you hit it on the head. The biggest lesson I had to learn in life, and I try to explain that, and I find myself often saying it to my wife, because I'm sort of the calming energy in our relationship. She'll always be like, I'm a silver lining guy. I'm always happy to give you the silver lining. I'm happy to give myself the silver lining of whatever situation. And something I've been saying a lot recently is like, back in the day, I would like overanalyze interactions with people after the fact, where I'd be like, I feel like I annoyed Payman when I was at his house. Like, and then, you know, not even that. That's not a true example.
I just want you to know now, you did. Yeah. You were a great guest.
Well, okay. Ask Lainey. She still seems pissed. But I was like, the thing that hit me the hardest, and you said it in there, so I just want to spotlight it even more, is that other person is not thinking about
me.
I'm the protagonist in my story only. Right. Yep. They're not reading the same book.
When I became a boss, when I became a head writer for the very first time, I wanted to write a sign and put it on my door that said, I promise you I'm not thinking about you. Because like when I was thinking back to like my first couple jobs and thinking, oh, like my head writer, like they think that sketch I wrote was so stupid.
Yeah, you'll be like, they asked Payman, Josh, and Gabrus for tags to the joke. They never even asked me. They hate me. You can just like create the whole side of the story in your head. And then meanwhile, they're like, oh, sorry, I didn't realize that. I didn't ask you.
Exactly.
I went home and cried to my partner.
Totally. Yeah. And I tried really hard to remember what it felt like to be the new person. And it was just like, I had affection for all my writers and everybody was doing a great job. I just like didn't remember to say it all the time.
Right.
And so, but I also at the same time felt like, you know, like I would like lay in bed and like, oh shit, I didn't like email Brendan and say great job or whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess that's, for me, it was part of it to not get that all the time, or just like to figure out how I'm going to deal with me and that uncertainty, but also just the uncertainty in this job.
Right. Right.
And it's just part of like the business.
You could like, you really free yourself up when you start to realize like, you know what? They're not thinking about me. And also it's a very helpful reminder in this business to be like, I should email my agent or manager just to get them to think about me, because they're not, you know, like you assume they are, assume that, and then you email them and they don't respond. You're like, okay, I better look up UTA's phone number.
No. Well, I've had to fire
they're
my
not
agent.
In my phone. Yeah. I had to fire my agent too. And I had to like, I wrote in the email to my agent when I fired her. I was like, hey, we barely speak anyway, but technically I have to fire you. Like, truly, I was like, I haven't had a WGA writing job. I think the last one was with Payman. No, I've sold a couple scripts since then, but that was my last
Payment. Oh, my God.
That was 10 so years, funny. 8 years ago,
that
whatever.
Was so long ago.
I felt so bad. I was like, hey, this is not going to, literally, I think I said, this is not going to affect you that much, but you're fired.
This might be in your spam folder. And
Yeah, you
who knows?
Never see it. But you responded. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's one thing I was thinking. I was looking through some old photos the other day, and I was just thinking about like stuff in my life that I'm not happy about, or like some issues that I still have. And I saw these photos from me.
And what are they?
Okay. Everyone has their list.
We all pull out lists.
Yeah, you all pull out lists.
Dump truck says, your list is written by fish. That's how I process.
And I've just like found these photos of me when I was in high school, and it was like, you know, just like with friends and stuff. And I was like, what if me at like 17 knew that me at, what am I, 90?
Yeah, what story are you keeping track here?
imagining like me looking from the photo, looking up at me, looking at it. And I was like, she probably thought I'd have it all figured out by now. I'd have no more issues. Like, I'd be organized. My penmanship would be better.
Right.
It's always a thing that I thought that one day my penmanship would get better.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely like look down at the photo of 17-year-old myself and go, nah, you never actually ever got buff, dude.
Yeah. Exactly.
You thought for sure it was going to happen? Well, it gets even worse.
Totally. it's, you know, on one hand, it made me feel like, now is the time to do these things, you know, like you were saying.
Get your penmanship better. It's 2020. It's time to get your handwriting better.
They put so much weight on it in Catholic school. And then there was this like contest that these old retired nuns would like, would judge your penmanship. And then you got some award. And like, I was such a good student that I would win every award, but like every year I wouldn't get that penmanship award.
Oh, wow.
But it was like, it drove me crazy. And eventually I did get it, but.
I eventually won the penmanship.
Yeah.
Got every award possible.
Right, guys.
But there was a brief time when I was missing one, and I still comes up.
20 minutes, and I didn't get it. No. But like, so yeah, but on the other hand, it was just kind of me being like, wow, like this is just, it happens so fast. And I still consider myself, and like, you know, my career has kind of worked out in a good way. Like, I mean, I didn't know back then that I wanted to be a comedy writer, but like.
But if you told yourself when you were a 17-year-old kid, you said, Nangle, I write for The Simpsons now. You're like, holy shit, that rules.
So you didn't become a nun? Yeah. I'm like, well, how do you also take care of your kids? And they're like, okay, well, we have to talk about that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, a funny story. ask grandma.
There's a pit bull involved. That made it sound like I had kids and a pit bull ate them.
No, it's more like you have a pit bull as a child.
Yes. So anyway, I guess I encourage people thinking of like going back and talking to your younger self, but also like think of your older self coming to you now and talk to you. And this is like a very like weird Reiki way to think of it. But
no, but I'm with you on this, the sort of new agey BS of this all of like, if you went back to your 17-year-old self and you'd be like, dude, what are you so stressed about? Look how like I'm the 38, I'm 20 years later. Look what that would be like your 59-year-old self coming to you now. I'd be like, Dad, don't worry about any, come on, dude. Yeah. I can't believe this is what you're concerned about. Who cares who got the Hulu pilot? I do. Because I think that person is not as good at improv as I am. And they're like, you understand that's not even a quantifiable thing. No less it doesn't matter for the scripted Hulu pilot. You're not a name. You're not a good actor. You're like, all right, fair enough. 59-year-old Gaber.
And the edit is only going to have the stuff that was scripted, yeah. So there's no point if you're improvising. Yeah,
and 59-year-old Gabriel grabs my gut and goes, and you're still not buff, yeah. You motherfucker.
Your wife is like, who is this man in our house?
Why is Santa Claus an old Greek man? Because the pictures of old self thing, my childhood best friend cracked open an old vault of photos he must have found at his mom's house or something, because he just sent me like a plethora of like just taking photos of hard copy photos on the like just like, and then he sent one picture of us of a group of guy friends, and I'm in like a tank top and I'm leaning forward and I look amazing. And he goes, we called you fat back then. And it was like the realest thing ever. I was like, oh my God, I'm looking at this photo of myself. And I'm like, I would kill to look like that. And right. Meanwhile, I was being bullied for being fat.
Oh
then. And that's how much fatter I've gotten. I'm like, oh, I would catch my after photo and it still gets roasted.
Do you remember
roasted.
That thing that was like a song and it was like, wear sunscreen? It was like
yeah,
top 40.
Yeah, the Baz Luhrmann
song. Baz Luhrmann thing. One of the things was, you are not as fat as you think you are.
God, he was a prophet.
It was like you are not as fat as you think you are.
I don't think I know this song, but I think I need to know.
Oh,
it's
man.
A very strange song.
There's a refrain that's sung, but then he's just reading like a commencement address / poem type thing that I don't think he wrote.
It's just a bunch of like self-help affirmations from like the guy who directed Moulin Rouge.
Right.
It's just this weird novelty single.
And he just, it's like, ladies and I think it's a class of 97 or something. It's like, ladies and gentlemen of the class of 97, wear sunscreen. And then he goes on all these things. Like sentences giving you advice, and then the end is like, but trust me on the sunscreen. He's right
about the sunscreen. He's very right. Yeah, he was ahead of the time. I mean, I refuse to listen to that. I believe some of us are born to be in the sun. I look at Payman as an Iranian. Right? Like us. Yeah. Italians, Iranians.
Do you not wear my sunscreen?
What?
Do you not wear sunscreen?
I do, but only when I'm like out for hours. And I often am out
for
hours. Yeah.
My sunscreen is not going outside.
Oh, wow. I wear it every single day.
My people are indoor people.
Every day.
That's what I hear is what you're supposed to do.
Well, I mean, look at me. I'm 64.
Yeah. I can't place how old you are. You're licking a giant rainbow lollipop. But you have a walker, so it's so common.
I'm wearing a diaper, and you can't tell if it's because I'm so young or so old.
All I can tell is that it's fucking hot. I don't know whether you're old or young, but I love it. If you could be, let's end it on this. If you can get dropped, no money, no stress to the attachment or anything like that, just a birthday present. You go home to your house Friday morning, you wake up and you would just have a gift waiting there. What would be the thing that you'd be like, and you know, maybe it doesn't have to be something, maybe let's back it up and say it's something small or realistic in a way. And something that you'd just be like, holy shit, this is very fucking cool.
Wow.
Holy moly. Do you have an answer for that?
I don't, but I'll say something first that'll be worse so that you guys can cover for it. I feel like a cool gift for me would be like if I came home and I had like some sort of like replica weapons. Like, truly.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Like a fucking cool ass two-handed sword or something. Or
replica,
like
replica, though? Not real?
Or real, I mean, yeah. But on, I was in my head, I was thinking replica, like from a movie, like from a favorite movie. Gotcha, like gotcha. The knife from Cobra would be a fucking killer gift or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think like a big sword or nunchucks or something would be very fucking cool gift. Or in reality, something, excuse me, as I find myself to be an experiential person, maybe some sort of experience-based thing, like I'll switch it. Fucking like stunt training. Like someone's like, oh, you can take a 2 8-hour day course at some stunt. You're going to shoot guns like Keanu does in his video. You're going to teach you how to drive backwards fast or whatever. Like that would be fucking killer on brand gift for me to just have when I get home. Yeah.
I would, if it's experience.
Or weapons.
I would say.
We'll also take weapons.
If I had floor seats to a game, I think that's the one thing I haven't experienced in sports and I really want to experience.
Like, so you could lay down?
Like, I just get tired. Yeah. The game is hard.
Like you're on the Jumbotron is just a sleepy little Payman with his thumb in his mouth, like right on the Clippers side.
Knowing me, I'll go full Larry David and like trip a star player and get him injured.
You haven't had floor seats for the Clips yet.
I've never have.
Oh, I thought you said four.
Oh. Never had floor seats. I've had three and I've had five.
I was like, oh, she thinks I'm going to lay down on the floor?
Yeah. I mean, that's also funny, but maybe. Yeah. I just want four
seats for a Clippers game.
Like, have you been on StubHub? You can get tickets for like $8.
If you can afford one, you could probably afford four. No.
That's so funny.
That is what a small gift.
I know.
Oh, thank you, Mom. Four. Four seats.
You're like, yes. So humble. Like so big. He's not asking for much. It's like a $32 wish.
But so you've never had floor seats at a Clipper.
Never
despite your online Clipper mania and your blue check mark and your sort of semi-famous Clipper friends that hover around you.
The Clippers have given me some really great seats over the years, but I haven't gotten floor. Floor is just a different.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other. Every now and then I'll look at the price.
When you and Divine finally make a movie together, then you'll get the floor seats.
Yeah.
You sit next to him and be like, star and director of the blah, blah, blah.
If he doesn't need it. If he doesn't need the tickets, I'll be like, all right, you can take it.
Sit next to his wife.
Yeah, it's just like him and Eric Griffin. And I'm like, come on, dude. Eric, you've been to enough games. That would probably be it. I can't think of anything else.
That's really, like just leveling up a current habit.
That's how boring I am. That I literally was like that, or what's like a cool kitchen gadget? I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting old. It's just like I have
slightly better seats or Vitamix.
A really good like sous vide system.
Ooh, okay. Josh.
All right. I'm going to be slick because this is going to tie into a thing I wanted to plug. But in February, I'm publishing a list of the greatest 3,000 songs of all time.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
Okay, because here's the thing. When you were talking before about being 34 and making these moves, I know from following you on social media and being your friend and coworker that you have a big project coming.
I've been teasing a big project for a while. This is the big project. I'm giving you a High and Mighty exclusive. This is the first time I actually...
This comes out the day before Josh's 34th birthday.
That's true.
Josh, tell us about this.
All right. It's a list I've been working on for about 17 years since I was a college freshman. I've been slowly working on it, like bit by bit over like whenever I've had free time. I've now written about 45,000 words of commentary on this particular list. And I'm publishing it sort of as a book, except it's going to be free. It's not going to be on a website. I haven't gotten the domain name yet, but just follow at Radio TFB on Twitter and I'll tweet about it once it's officially out
in a few weeks. And I will, of course, now RT that. So follow my social media. We'll find it. We'll get Josh's thing. I almost even guessed that it would have to do with songs because when Nang mentioned the Baz Luhrmann song, I'm like, right, Josh has like encyclopedic knowledge of all like weird of all these songs. And when you said that, I'm like, I wonder if the thing, because you also showed how many pages it was, and there was like, and I was like, I bet you it's something about like a weird catalog of music.
This is my weird thing of where like it's all balanced by decades. So there's the same amount of songs from the 60s and 70s and 80s and tried to cover as many genres as possible. 2,400 unique artists. Anyway, I've really calibrated this thing out. But my dream would be.
How subjective is it? Or do you take into account like the cultural moment around it? Or is it all like these are Josh's favorite songs?
Or is it split by race of the.
This many white people. No. I mean, everything is subjective because it's my pick, but it is my subjective view of like what 3000 songs like if like music stopped now and we had to have the subjective record of all of human music to date, these 3000 songs would cover it.
Oh, that's awesome. Man. I can't believe there are so few things in my life that if someone said it's 3000 different things where I'd go, well, I can't wait to read it. but for some reason, this one I am excited to read, yeah. But that sentence alone is for
us. Listen to it. It's going to be available to Spotify playlist, obviously. But my tying it back to my birthday, the next step that I want to do with this project is make a jukebox that would just have those songs and be sitting in my house. And that would take finding somebody who could like make a custom jukebox and programming the software and everything. But I eventually want this, and probably not this birthday, but
would be my dream. And I don't even know what it stands for, but I just know your social media handle. If you don't call that jukebox Radio TFB, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you.
That's great.
It stands for Radio Trust Fund Baby, which is an old joke, even though I'm not really a trust fund baby.
You're a trust fund man.
Trust fund man at this point. Oh yeah, exactly.
All right, Nang, we didn't go
some raisins. Okay.
And this actually ties nice into my plug.
Yeah.
Well, there's some grapes on this.
We can just hang around.
Yeah, we
can
wait.
I don't know. That's a weird, like, yeah, I feel like I'm in a place where if I really, really wanted something, I could figure out how to kind of pay for it or get it or whatever.
Yeah, or like the path to get it. Like, that's the same thing for me. Like, I can easily take stuntman classes. You could probably cough up the fee to go. But like, you're like, that's not exactly how you want it to go. So
yeah.
Can you think of it? Maybe it's more like something you wouldn't want to spend your own money on in a weird way.
Well, like, what about like a Peloton with a husband on it?
Never gets off the bike. Just always working hard for you.
That's really funny. Yeah, I guess if I Peloton with a husband on. I love the bike, hate the guy, but he's my husband now.
And some raisins.
Good old raisins and peanuts. That is. Yeah, I guess that is the world of where you're talking about, like, anything I really want, I could get for myself. You could probably get yourself a Peloton if you really want it. The hard part.
And my mom, who's listening, is like, why didn't you say wife? Like, she's upset now. I'm sorry, Mom.
Payman, she was right there. You could have proposed. You'll never forget her birthday. I'm like almost accidentally doing an accent for your mom.
Pretty good.
As I'm doing it, I'm like, you're not allowed to do this.
did you go to the Rob Schneider School of Accents?
And I'm like, it's not like I could like differentiate amongst. I'm like, I'm just doing foreign, which is the most racist thing you can do. It's like, just stutter a little, you know, just say words slower, and then you count as being.
If I try a Persian accent, it's probably as racist as it gets because I can't do
it. Like, oi, payment, why didn't you propose? Like, yeah, that's foreign.
Yeah. I love hearing like children of immigrants do impressions of their parents. Like, it's like the most fun thing for me. And then I'm so almost going to friend like Greg Tugulescu's dad is Romanian. When he talks about him, I'm always like, and I'm like, I want to do the impression along with you. Or like when Eugene does his Filipino mom, I'm like, I can't do this. This is so cute. It's so funny to hear. I want to play along.
It would be the best if like anyone, their impression of their parent is always Cockney English British. Always.
Well, that's my impression of my dad. My impression of my dad is practically Donald Trump because he sounded like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Jody, clean your robe. That's like my dad sounded like he had a cold and was white trash. Well, he was white trash, but he sounded like he had a cold on top of it.
If you ever met my parents, you would think like I whenever I do their talk about them, I do them as like straight, like super strong Philly accent.
And then, they're not like that.
No, they're totally like normal. They say water or whatever, but that's it.
Guys, I want to thank you so much for doing the High and Mighty birthday episode. This is exciting. I feel like now it's 2 years in a row. It's an annual tradition. So get pumped.
Didn't we do it a couple years ago?
Or did we not do it last year at all?
No, I thought you guys did it last year.
I wasn't here last year. We did it the year we did it with like Adomian and Bobby.
Yeah.
And then Payman was like, excuse me.
I was like, what the fuck? We're friends. We talked about this.
I've been on your podcast and I have the birthday.
that was like 2017 or something.
Oh, yeah. What did I do last year for birthday? Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't think I had any. Oh, did I have Just Sheer on? No, I think he did a long
episode. That was 3 years ago. Like,
Jesus.
It's 2020. Anyway.
It's 2020. Sorry, FYI. I just was unfrozen this morning. I was just shipped here on a Peloton. I don't know why.
2020, my senior year.
I was going to say earlier, like, that 34 doesn't feel weird to me. 2020 still feels weird to me. It's
yes.
Like, oh, I remember, because I remember 2000 and how futuristic that was. And it was like, 2020, that's forever away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing about 2020 for me, and it's been this way for the entire, since 2000. I graduated high school in 2000, so it's very easy to do the math on how long you've been out of high school.
Right.
And so it's just like, it's right there, and 2020 just feels insane. Like, I graduated high school 20 years ago. It's like, what have you done? I'm like, improv? It's like the answer. Yeah, like, life flashes before my eyes, and it's like Skyrim and like 40 white guys in flannels looking at me. But listeners, be on the lookout for our huge birthday bash, January 31st, 2021, Super Bowl night. We're going to have a huge party that no one shows up to. what is everyone plugging? Josh, we'll start with you, Radio TFB.
Yeah, follow at Radio TFB for that book thing. Also, another person who was born on January 31st, Paul Shearer, has a podcast called Unspooled that I produce. All about the AFI Top 100 movies. It's great. You should listen. Also, Amy Nicholson co-hosts. And this weird guy from Long Island called Gino Lombardo. I sometimes produce his show. Gamers, he's a huge fan of yours, I guess. He keeps talking about you.
Yeah, he talks about me a lot. I'm okay with it.
He assaulted my friend. But go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. He seems hip. He's got a weird history. Yeah, I had to clean up like this dog he killed. It was
Oh, no. Josh is right. Check out the Gino Lombardo show on Stitcher Premium. Very funny stuff. Truly one of the comedy projects I'm most proud of that truly was made so much better by Josh and Brett.
Thank you.
To give both of you guys credit there. Rarely do I ever feel like I haven't had a lot of opportunities. I'm always working in a situation where I feel like I'm the best at what I do in the situation where I'm like, come on, motherfucker, be up to my level. This is the first time in a long time that, especially in podcasting, where I'm like, oh, you guys are doing way more work. I better back this fucking thing up. Like, when the effort you guys put in, I was like, yikes, I guess we're editing this podcast. First time ever I tried that. Payman, what about you?
I guess my Twitter, just Payman Benz. You brought up Shear. I directed some episodes of Black Monday for season two.
That comes
out. Season one, I talked to you about this, but I fucking loved that show.
It's great. Season two is bananas.
It's one of those things where you see something and you're like, oh, that looks like it'll be pretty good. I don't care if I never see it. I happen to like watch it. It's like, oh, you know, my friends Horatio and Paul are on it. Who cares? And I put it on and I'm like, oh, this is pretty fun. First episode. I'll watch another one. I hadn't liked a show that like my friends were in or done in a long, and I was like, fuck, this is it's right in my wheelhouse. And I said it to Shear when he did my show. He is doing like his best acting, like the season
he's
one, and I'm so excited to see season two.
Yeah.
But season one, he's like dealing with like real issues and it's really, and like in a very funny way.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Paul leveled up. Like he did stuff in season one that I've never seen him do.
Yeah,
and he did it so well. And season two, season two.
I just saw it from the trailer.
Just the clips of the trailer in season two.
Him roller skating. I'm like, I'm in. I'm on board.
Oh,
I can't wait to see more.
That was the most fun thing ever. But yeah, so I did some of those. And so just on Twitter. I don't know.
Yeah, and go Clippers.
And go Clippers.
that reminds me of something that I wanted to say earlier when I was like imparting on my like wisdom or whatever. which is that
whatever.
Last year, I started taking an acting class, which I'd never done before. I've only ever done improv, and I wanted to learn more about acting so I'd be better at writing. And I remember the first day I like went, and I didn't know anybody. I was sitting in class. This is in New York, and I was so nervous and scared. And I realized in that moment I haven't felt like this in a while. Like you feel like this in school a lot, or like you know, and like where you like you're nervous but you're excited, but like, oh, I hope people like me, whatever. Although I do remember thinking, like, if people like me, I don't give a shit. Don't like me, whatever. Yeah. But, like, I think that it's really important if you want to feel young to put yourself in positions like that where you feel like that, because it's a thing that's easy to be like, oh, I don't have to deal with that anymore. But it's so thrilling, and you grow so much from it. I'm a really good actor anyway. Like, if you want to, like, cast me in yourself, that'd be awesome.
Nang, you saying I took an acting class to be a better writer like hit me so hard in the heart where I'm like, I want to be an actor and I don't take acting classes. Like, I'm like, acting classes for writing. I should try them for acting.
It was hard, but it was interesting. And also much the way that these listeners of this podcast, like no one knew how old I was and everyone was like 22 and like no one knew how old I was and it was the best.
That's great.
But anyway, I would just plug my Twitter at Nanglish. That's all I really have.
At Nanglish. You don't have your own podcast, but your episodes of The Doughboys are, as someone who has FOMO listening to the live show podcast, because I usually do the live tours too, you and Carl both, but you are so fucking funny on that show.
You.
It's so fun to listen to you.
Thank you.
Roast those guys. Bringing that fucking energy. I love it so fucking much.
Thanks.
And I was pumped that we got to do Chicago together.
Oh, it was
together.
So fun. That we
was
get to highlight. Do that again.
Yeah, we definitely have to do one together.
I remember because we were like backstage. We did two shows in a row. And Gaber just kept going, because we could do jokes. They don't do jokes.
Yeah. I was drunk and I was like, the reason we're good at this show is because like we're funny and they're not even trying to be funny. The audience thinks they're hysterical. Wait till they see us trying to be funny on this hilarious. Show.
Yeah. He's saying it at, like at this volume like several times over the course of the night. It was so funny.
I say it to them. Yeah. Like, that's why I'm like, oh, your show is good because me and Nangle do comedy. You guys do podcasts. It's a little different.
Oh my God.
I just want to touch on something Nangle said. I've been doing so many new activities as an adult for the first, like I ran my first half marathon. If you've never done something of like,
oh my God,
you incredible. Do something where you're like, this is my first time doing anything like this. Like I didn't even do a 5K or a 10K before. I just like showed up there and it's like, just not, doing something where you're not completely comfortable with what's going on is just a wild fucking experience. And it's thrilling.
Yes.
The first time I went scuba diving was the most scared I've ever been in my adult life. Like I never really feel panic. And I had to like tell my instructor that I'm like, I'm having a little bit of a panic attack. I need to breathe. I'm on the 30 feet down underneath the ocean at the bottom of the ocean floor. I'm going like, oh fuck, I'm having a panic attack. I can't see anything. And afterwards I'm like, I've never felt like that. That's fucking crazy.
Awesome.
And like in my martial arts class, the teacher said to me the other day, I was like, oh, that's cool watching the veteran kids, like the older students sparring. That's really exciting. He's like, hey man, don't worry. You'll get there someday, but you got to learn the basics. And I said, I was so excited to be like, dude, I'm constantly doing new activities. I'm completely comfortable with sucking. So like, I don't care. I'm 38. I'm not going to be good at Jeet Kune Do on the first day. I'm open to sucking. And just being open to being bad at stuff in your life is something you forget where you're like, everything I do, I'm pretty good at now, you know, and you keep choosing things that you're pretty good at. Every once in a while, I'll take that weird left and be like, I guess I'm going to write a fucking 1,000 song. You know, I'm going to take an acting class. I'm going to do martial arts. I'm going to sous vide bacon.
You're going to get four seats.
I haven't caught up with you in a minute, so I was trying to think of something specific.
Four seats.
Like,
four seats in a row.
Yeah. Someday I'll have three empty seats next to me.
I can't wait.
I'm at Gabe Brisson on social media. Guys, I think tomorrow a good thing you could do would be to tag us all in happy birthday tweets, listeners. Just tweet us all happy birthday tomorrow so we can wake up and feel exciting.
And should we say our Venmos just in case?
Oh, yeah. You could probably figure them out. actually, I don't want Venmo. I want checks. So here's my home address. And I'll tell you which window's unlocked so you can just slide the money in there. Thanks for listening. Thank you guys for coming on the pod. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Listen to Action Boys, the Gino Lombardo Show, and all the other shit I do. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.